Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave?
Good morning and welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this Easter Sunday. We will be celebrating the Sacrament of Holy Communion, so get yourself some bread or a cracker and something to drink if you wish to participate. We are joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our musical director, Dave Valerio, and our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville. So Glenn, please call us to worship.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. Through his blood, our sins are washed away and we are forgiven. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song, praising God who raised Jesus from the dead. We come to worship, for he is risen. Amen.
Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain. Wheat that in the dark earth many days has lain. Love lives again that with the death has been. Love is come again like the wheat that springeth green. Forth he came at Easter, like the risen grain. Jesus, who for 3 days in the grave he had lain. Quick from the dead, my risen Lord is seen. Love is come again, like the wheat that springeth green. When our hearts are wintry, or grieving, or in pain, Jesus' touch can call us, it can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love is come again, like the wheat that springeth green.
Almighty God, who sent Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to gather us together, may we not wander from the flock, but follow where he leads us, knowing his voice and staying near to him until we are safely in the fold, to live forever ever with our Lord who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the time when we share announcements. Family Feast Friday is coming up this Friday. It's clam cakes and a bowl of New England style clam chowder. You can pay at the time of pickup. Curbside pickup is available. You have to pre-order before 12 noon this coming Tuesday, however, April 6th. Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time?
Reverend Carol?
Yes.
I would just like to ask if somebody could take a picture of the cross this morning or sometime today or the next few days.
Okay.
And just send it to me or send it to the church.
All right.
I'd like to see that because I just haven't seen it with the... Did we do the flowering cross?
No.
But we did put the new sign up, so I'd like to see that.
We put the new sign up, but we did not do the flowering cross, no.
Okay, if somebody can snap a picture of that, I would love to see it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other announcements? Then let us begin the sacrament of Holy Communion. The communion table is open to all who confess Jesus as the Christ and seek to follow in Christ's way. Come to the sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are fulfilled, but because in your emptiness you stand in need of God's mercy and assurance. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence and to pray for a spirit. Come to this table then, sisters and brothers, as you are. Partake and share. It is given to you and to me that we might know that God has come to us and shared our common lot and invited us to join the people of God's new age.
We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread and bless this fruit of the vine. Bless all of us in our eating and drinking at your table, that our eyes may be opened and we might recognize the risen Christ in our midst, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen.
Take this bread and eat of it, for it is a reminder of the body of Christ broken for you. And now take this cup and drink of it, for it is a reminder of Christ's blood shed for you.
Let us pray. We thank you, God, for inviting us to this table where we have known the presence of Christ and have received all Christ's gifts. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and let us hold forth your praise in our lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Mr. Dave, would you please introduce the hymn that we're going to sing together today?
Yes. The opening hymn that you heard was a song called "Now the Green Blade Riseth." And that's actually in our hymnals, and we never sing it. It's actually a tune in the section of Easter, and it's an Easter hymn. But I didn't sing it, but I did narrate it because I thought the words were so poignant with the Easter season and the risen Christ and spring, life coming back from winter. And we all need to see some springtime and some forward movement. So I thought it was very appropriate to play. The song we're going to sing, the song you'll hear at the end of Reverend Carol's sermon is a new piece I wrote. I actually wrote it last year, the week after Easter, because we all went into lockdown, and I guess I felt inspired and spiritual, and I wrote an Easter hymn, and it was supposed to be for the choir to sing this year. It was going to be a new Easter hymn, and we're still not singing it. So yeah, you have to put up with listening to me sing it. So I thought we would still play that. That's right after Reverend Carol's sermon. And I look forward to the choir being able to do that someday soon, maybe next Easter. But the song we're going to sing right now is "Christ the Lord is risen today.
The Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Earth and heaven in chorus say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Hallelujah! Lives again our glorious King. Hallelujah! Where, O death, is now thy sting? Hallelujah! Once he died our souls to save. Hallelujah! Where is thy victory post the grave?
And it wouldn't be Easter without that hymn. So thank you very much for singing it for us. I appreciate that. This is the time that we share our celebrations as a church family. First of all, I'd like to celebrate the fact that this is indeed Easter. So happy Easter to each and every one of you. I'd like to celebrate the fact that we had a sunrise service at Capron Park. Mr. Dave was the musician, and it was so good to see so many from Central Congregational Church there. Sula Fortune is back home and recovering from surgery, and I did see her come in, so it was great to see that today. Janet Dyer is also at home, although we will continue to pray for Ed and Janet. And are there any other celebrations that you would like to lift up? Please feel free to unmute yourselves and do that celebration.
I would like to share that my son Sean got engaged.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Exciting. Very good. That's you, Anne, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Excellent. Very good.
Our daughter Jill just got notification that she will be graduating from Framingham State with honors this spring. She knew she was graduating, but didn't know she was graduating with honors, and she's worked really hard, so we're very proud of her.
That's always worth celebrating. Absolutely. Congratulations, Mom and Dad. You did a good job. Any other celebrations? Hearing none, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. And we still have a very long list of people for whom we are praying. We pray for all the people who are ill, others in need of prayer, and especially these people. We pray for Loretta, for Jennifer, for Sue, who will be undergoing her first round of treatment this Tuesday. We pray for Bert, Julie Goss's brother-in-law, for Ed and his family members, for Sue, as we mentioned, who is recovering at home from surgery. We pray for Marie, for Lee, that's Tyson Bowles' sister, for Jane and her family, for Brigitte, and for Len Mitchell, who is at home in hospice care with his wife. And Bob Avoyan Sister Marge, we pray for Corinne. And also we remember AJ, the Bishop Fiennes hockey player that was sent to rehab some time ago. We pray he is doing better. We've been also asked for prayers for Tyler and for Caitlin. For those in the nursing homes and assisted living, we pray for Jackie and for Carolyn. And of course, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all of our healthcare workers. We pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the well-being of our nation, and we pray for our communities as we continue to face this pandemic and these difficult days together. So please join with me in prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. O Lord, you are the God of the living, and on this Easter Sunday, as the new light of resurrection shines upon us, May we so open our lives, our hearts, and our minds to you that this new light may shine within us. We thank you for the good news of Easter, for its joy and the triumphant note of victory it places at the very center of our lives. We're thankful for the risen Christ and his life and death and the way he has burst the bonds of death for us. May our lives be so touched by Easter and the gospel that we would discover a new sense of victory over everything that would harm us. As our Lord has been raised from the dead, may we be able by thy grace and mercy to rise above those things which would deprive us of living in the present. Keep us from getting over this great thing. Keep us from getting over this great thing that has happened. We sometimes take it for granted. Keep us from getting used to it and keep it alive and fresh and vital in our hearts so that our living may always be in the light of Easter and we may live victoriously. Forgive our sins, O God, as Jesus forgave the thief on the cross who turned to him for mercy. As he found his place in paradise, so may we find ours in you. Help us to be the healing presence of Christ to those in need. We pray for the homeless, for our servicemen and women all over the world, for those people who are still struggling at our nation's capital to keep peace. We pray for our nation and its leader. And we ask a special blessing to be upon those who are ill or suffering or grieving on this day. We pray especially for those people we have mentioned by name and ask you to listen to the names of others we lift up at home in this time of silence. Gracious God, may the world hear today the good news of Easter, for our world needs to hear it, especially today. Break the bonds of death, destruction, and ignorance everywhere. May the news of new life and joy be heard in all the lands, for we pray it all in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus was crucified on a Friday, and his body was placed in a borrowed tomb because the Sabbath was beginning at sundown that Friday. The Gospel of John tells us of the women coming to finish the burial preparations after the Sabbath. He also tells us about the first witness to the risen Christ in the garden. I'll be reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Please hear these words. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to him, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. In most Christian churches this Easter morning, the scripture lesson read and the sermon preached will be about the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. The grave in which some of us will eventually lie will be a kind of statement about our life and death. Sometimes we know very little about a person when we're walking through a cemetery. All we know about them is from the epitaph, from his or her headstone. And there have been some very amusing ones indeed. And so I'll share just a few of them with you. Memory of an accident in a Uniontown, Pennsylvania cemetery. Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake. Someone determined to be anonymous in Stowe, Vermont. How like a Vermonter. "I was somebody who is no business of yours." And in a Georgia cemetery, "I told you I was sick." Well, I guess we get a glimpse into the lives of these people for better or for worse. And on this Easter Sunday, I would like to talk about two tombs specifically. The first is one I visited back in the early 1980s, I think it was, 5 miles west of the Nile River in Egypt, near the Arab village of Al Giza, stands the Great Pyramid, always first on the list of the 7 wonders of the world, and the only one that still survives. It is arguably the most stupendous mass of masonry ever put together by human hands. I don't know why, but I have felt drawn to Egyptology from a very young age when I first went through that exhibit at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. The Great Pyramid rises 450 feet into the air and stands on a base that is 755 feet on each side, covering an area of 12.5 acres. It has been calculated that more than 2,300,000 blocks of stone are incorporated in its huge frame, each weighing 2.5 tons, and that in all, there are over 85 million cubic feet of masonry still remaining, even after all the ravages of the elements, time, and worst, human beings. The Great Pyramid has been standing there now for 50 centuries. 50 centuries. It was already old in the Old Testament. I'm sure Joseph probably rode past it, as he must have many times in his role as vizier to the Egyptian pharaoh. Surely he must have gazed at it, just as I and millions of others have over the centuries, and pondered the life of the mighty monarch who had built it. And who was that? His name was Cheops. He lived and reigned 2,900 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. He had the Great Pyramid constructed for one purpose only. It was to be his tomb. He spent his entire life building his tomb. And Cheops is only remembered for his tomb. He was not a great warrior. He made no far-reaching conquest. He showed no particular concern for the welfare of his people. He framed no code of laws for their guidance, nor did he enlarge the boundaries of knowledge or inspire the practice of new arts. All he did was build a tomb. What drove him to do it? Well, historians say that he did it to make himself feel safe. Safe from what? Not the usual enemies. His kingdom was safe on all its borders. His armies were quite capable of defeating any and all approaching armies. But there was a foe that he feared far more. This enemy, of course, is still with us today. That enemy was death. Cheops knew that pharaohs were mortal and died just like other humans. He knew that the day would come when all the pomp and circumstance of his power would drop away and he would become a corpse like any other man. But Cheops believed he could dodge the finality of death. How did he do that? He believed the sacred Egyptian texts that described how to preserve the body by a strange process of mummification. The belief was that if some part, any part of the body was preserved, then the spirit would continue to live with the gods in the world beyond the setting sun. Of course, for Cheops, it was all for naught because grave robbers found his mummified body and removed it, thereby ending his bid for immortality. Easter Sunday is a day when our attention as Christians is drawn to another tomb of ancient times. We are here today because of events surrounding that other tomb of 2,000 years ago. It is the tomb of Jesus of Nazareth. It is a tomb not known for its architectural magnificence, nor is it an engineering marvel. It is a tomb not requiring a lifetime to build. It is not listed in the seven wonders of the ancient world. In fact, we do not even know where the tomb really was located. When you go to Jerusalem, you are brought to two different sites that have been identified, and I have visited both of those places. But there's no archaeological or historical or even biblical evidence to support either place as the place where the body of Jesus was laid to rest. Jesus never made any mention of where he was to be buried, as Cheops did. The Hebrews, as a rule, buried their dead in caverns and natural caves. The entrance was sealed over, generally with a large boulder, to keep grave robbers out, the animal and the human variety. In fact, Jesus' body was placed in a borrowed tomb, we believe, one belonging to the follower of his, Joseph of Arimathea. Like Mary Magdalene on that first Easter morning, we are moved to say, we do not know where they have laid him. Here's the big difference between these two tombs. For Cheops, the tomb was the end all of his existence, and we marvel at his tomb. For Jesus, the tomb was a beginning. When we speak of Cheops, we speak of death in his tomb. When we speak of Jesus, we speak of an empty tomb, of life, of resurrection. With Cheops, we say, wow, what a tomb. With Jesus, we say, wow, what a life. And what a life we remember on this Easter Sunday. J.B. Phillip, one of the older historians, has written these words. Jesus, without money and arms, conquered more millions than Alexander, Caesar, Muhammad, and Napoleon had done. Without science and learning, he shed more light on things human and divine than all the philosophers and scholars combined. Without the eloquence of a formal education, he spoke words of life such as never were spoken before nor since, and produced effects which lie beyond the reach of orator or poet. Without writing a single line, he set more pens in motion and furnished themes for more sermons, orations, discussions, works of arts, learned volumes, and sweet songs of praise than the whole army of great men of ancient and modern times. Today, we are not assembled at a tomb. We are gathered as the church. We remember Jesus' words today especially. Wherever two or three are gathered, there I will be. So whether we are gathered in a church building or here on Zoom, we are the church where the spirit of Jesus Christ still lives. Two tombs, one a monument to death, the other a monument to abundant life. One tomb was too big for the man, and in the other, the man was too big for the tomb. One tomb was built by slave labor, the other was a means of setting people free. We've all but forgotten Cheops and marvel at his tomb. We cannot even locate the tomb of Jesus, but will always marvel at his life. And in the end, what draws us to Easter each and every year is the resurrection, a concept and a belief found in no other faith in the world, a promise that there is such a thing as eternal life, and it is promised to you and to me. And one final epitaph in a Thurmont, Maryland cemetery. Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go. Let's think about that this Easter morning. Amen.
Good Christians, come and join in song. The world was changed that early morn, and how it happened no one knows. But from his grave our Christ arose. A wondrous advent to behold, the greatest story. Lay neatly there, but Jesus was not anywhere. The women were the first to see. Our Lord is gone, how can it be? Early that morn, he rose from the just as if reborn. Praise him, praise him, Lord of all, as we proclaim he rose up from his grave. Now to the men Christ did appear.
May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
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 Thank you, Mr. Dave. That was a wonderful hymn. I hope we are back sometime very soon into our church. It would be very nice. So feel free to unmute yourselves and greet each other on this happy Easter morning.